Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, back from G2E, the big gaming conference, noted gaming attorney Sean McGinnis joins us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Dick Gamick, Howard Rosenberg, and John Sandy. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Does your business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Sean McGinnis. He is a partner with Lewis Rocha Rothgerber. And just back from the G2E Gaming Conference in Las Vegas, biggest conference in gaming of the year. What were your thoughts on what you saw?
Oh, well, I go every year, Sam, and it's good to be on the show again.
You're
by the way.
Welcome.
But what amazed me about this year's G2E was just the magnitude of people. I mean, it's always been a large event. It's been 20,000-25,000 people, but I haven't seen the numbers for this year. But it seemed like attendance was much stronger, a lot more presence. It was interesting to see the new combined lottery slot manufacturer companies and their offerings, your IGT, G-Tech combination, Scientific Games, Bally, and just seeing how they're all coming together with what they have and offering. It seems like there's a lot of interest in the games that they're looking to put out.
The new head of Caesars Entertainment caused quite a stir. He's only just been in the job, came from Hertz, and he was talking about his surprise about the millennials and that not enough attention was being paid to the millennials. Well, I got a whole bunch of phone calls from people in the industry who were just freaked out at this and who said, this guy has no concept of what's been going on in the gaming industry for the last decade or more, that things have changed dramatically between the ownership of the machines and the leasing of the machines and how much money is being taken out. The millennials is a tiny portion of this.
Right. Well, it is, and it is interesting because what you've started to see over the last decade or so is gaming companies bringing in people from outside the industry to get sort of a fresh perspective. And it is kind of, and when Gary Lubman became head of Caesars, when it was Harrah's back then, he was a little bit controversial because he had issues with the regulatory scrutiny and all that.
Oh, yes,
he
did.
So maybe it's a rite of passage if you become the CEO of Caesars that you have an incident like that. But when you get to the millennial issue, I mean, it is something that they've been working on, but it still really is a valid issue. There was a lot of discussion at G2E about you know, how do you attract, you know, the 20-somethings, and what games do they want to play? Because they're not really interested in playing the same games that their parents or grandparents are playing, and that's the bread and butter of a bricks and mortar casino. So how do you transition that to another generation?
You know, maybe I'm a genius or maybe I'm an idiot, but you know, a long time ago I was talking to people in Reno, at least in the gaming industry, about having tournaments with Xboxes and the other right. devices, where maybe you'd bring 1,000 of those boxes in and have a competition. People in places like South Korea, there are millions of people watching on TV, people playing these games, right. and we were so far behind the curve. Was it the fact that the legislature needed to pass laws that allowed the gaming manufacturers to come up with new kinds of games? Was that what was holding us back?
Well, I don't know if that's what was holding everything back. You know, you have to remember when you look at the expansion of gaming, you know, that started like in the late 80s, early 90s. I think everybody was moving along, everybody in the industry, the operators and manufacturers were getting into new jurisdictions. What do we need to do? We're competing for this license. We want to get licensed here to offer our products. And then you had that moving along. And then Vegas just continued to grow and grow and grow up until the time the economy, you know, slipped off the crevice in 2008, 2009. I think really just a lot of attention really wasn't dedicated towards that. But now you have it, and you do have the legislative skill game aspect and, you know, that Nevada's putting in, and the esports, that just the type of thing you're looking at. The idea that people will get in the Staples Center and watch people play Xboxes and things like that is kind of amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's the direction the industry needs to move in. I mean, I know whenever I get a new phone, the first thing I do is find the young folks working at the TV station to explain to me how to work it, and maybe people in the gaming industry need to go find their kids and grandkids and say, hey, what are you doing today?
Well, you're starting to see that, though. I think that may be a little bit more why there was such a large attendance. It seemed like there was a lot more discussion about those types of issues, including discussions whether it was esports or even fantasy sports, and the issues of as to, you know, what's the attraction there. There's a panel where the head of DraftKings, I think, said that they did a study and only 15% of their customers actually engage in sports wagering. Which is a little bit counterintuitive when you think about what you see when you watch an NFL game and you see the ads for all the fantasy sports companies.
And some interesting controversy. Have you been following this with fantasy sports?
Yeah.
And whether it's gambling or not?
Well, that's kind of the discussion, and it is interesting. I saw that the Department of Justice just came out and sort of punted on the question and said that they weren't going to opine on that, but they're still going to monitor the sports wagering. But then you get into you know, it's skill gaming. And so if you're going to start regulating fantasy sports, what about bowling tournaments? What about other things like that? Because gambling has three, has consideration, it has a prize, and it has an element of chance. And if there's skill in there, if one of those things isn't present, then it's not gambling.
Wow, bowling. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be Sean McGinnis when we come back.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Looking for help saving energy and money? Soon, new options from NV Energy will help you do both. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully's Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sean McGinnis. He's a partner with Lewis Rocha Rothgerber. Let's talk about Full House purchasing Colorado properties. I understand that was a lot of conversation at G2E. And when you look at what Monarch, for example, has been doing, and it continues to do in Black Hawk, I mean, they're investing a lot of money, but it seems like right there by Denver, huge market.
Well, it's interesting, and I'm originally from Denver, actually, and I'm licensed in Colorado, and I do a lot of representation in Colorado companies, and I actually am somewhat involved in the Full House deal. But I can talk about what you're addressing is you're starting to see the market. You have the Ameristar, you know, Ameristar Pinnacle are in Black Hawk. What Monarch's doing in Black Hawk with their project could be a real game changer for that market. The Full House deal's down in Cripple Creek, which is closer to Colorado Springs, which is a little bit of a different market because it doesn't have the same demographics as Denver, so they don't have as many people in the population that have a propensity to want to go to a casino. But still, it's a very interesting aspect that people are looking to get into the Colorado market. I think part of what chilled people on that before is they had a referendum last fall about whether the slots at the track, whether they could have slots at racetracks, which is in the south part of Denver, which would really have done some things.
Yeah, and that was beaten back brutally.
Oh, brutally, yes. It always is. It comes up every 5 years and it gets beaten down. But still, if you're an investor, you got to hedge your risk and you want to make sure that's not going to be something that's going to impact your investment.
Has marijuana and gaming come up in conversations about Colorado gaming?
Well, the interesting part about that is that the agency that regulates marijuana in Colorado is a sister agency to the Division of Gaming. It's all under the Colorado Department of Revenue. And the marijuana regulators are actually former regulators that were with the Colorado Division of Gaming. They really haven't had an issue where they've had applicants where like someone in the marijuana industry wants to get a gaming license or vice versa. But it would be very interesting if that does come to pass, because really you have the same, you know, they're kind of trained in their sister agencies. So how do you deal with that? That's an interesting, you know, nuance.
And for the Nevada Commission, it's been that they've said, you know, if you have a gaming license and you're doing something that's against federal law, that's not going to happen. So you've got to decide which one you want to be.
Correct.
Let's talk about what's been going on in Macau, because some very interesting developments. Obviously, there's been this huge crackdown on people committing crimes, taking their company's money or their government's money and spending it in Macau. And so there's been this huge crackdown over the last year or so. And the stock prices have resulted in dropping to some of their lowest points since the giant drop during the Great Recession, although not as close to that. But, I mean, Las Vegas Sands dropping, for example, to about $36. They were at $3 during the Great Recession. So not to that level. But then there was an announcement by the Chinese government that they were going to do things to aid Macau, perhaps have more gross gaming revenue type clients getting visas to be able to come in and come in more frequently. And boom, those stock prices just jump right back up.
Right, yeah. And that's the nature of the stock market. It's, you know, people look at it and it's sort of betting a little bit, you know, well, maybe betting's not the right word, but you're looking towards the future. You know, what is this company going to be doing in the next quarter or in the next year? And when you get news like that, it really is something that does create a lift for companies like Las Vegas Sands and Wynn.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because really, Singapore seemed to be the one that was shouting it out loudest, saying that, you know, we want gaming, but we don't want just gaming. We want you to provide other things like conventions and theme parks and all of this. And so, you know, that's what's occurring in Macau as well. It just wasn't being shouted as loudly. So they're really changing the model in the same way that Las Vegas changed the model, that it's going to be a much more diverse industry. It's not just going to be about gaming, but gaming will still be a huge powerhouse.
Right, correct. And the other part of it is you have the international nature of the gaming companies. The companies that are in Macau and in Singapore are the same companies that are in Nevada and you know, New Jersey, throughout the United States. It really has become a global industry. When you think back to just 50 years ago or 40 years ago, it was only in Nevada.
That's true. What do you think about, Steve Wynn said, famously a few years ago, that as long as Obama was president, he wasn't going to expand in Las Vegas, but it certainly hasn't stopped him from expanding into Massachusetts, for example. What do you think of what's behind the plan for Wynn? Is there still a lot of money to be made in this country?
I think so, or else he wouldn't be looking at, his project in Boston. Now, of course, he's having a lot of issues with the mayor of Boston.
Quite a public fight.
It seems like it just continues on, but I don't think that's so unique to Wynn, because if you look at any of the projects, whether it's, MGM or Penn National, what they're doing in the northeast of Massachusetts, it's not like Mississippi, for example, when it was like, we have gaming, this is what we're going to do, we're going to get it started up, et cetera. It seems like there's a lot more steps in the way and a lot more obstacles to overcome in getting things in the Northeast.
Taking a look at downtown Reno, with the Eldorado purchasing the half ownership of Silver Legacy that they didn't have, and Circus Circus from MGM, that sounds like, even though was relatively inexpensive. I mean, they bought it for about $72 million,
right.
And then they also picked up about $60 million in debt. But that wasn't even a fraction of what the Silver Legacy cost to build. Was this a bargain? Are the Caranos making a smart move in consolidating their power in downtown Reno?
Yeah, I think it is a smart move for them, and it makes sense because if you can control the destiny, and they could probably get a lot of good economy of scale in operating the Eldorado Silver Legacy and the Circus Circus together. And it was a good move for MGM as well. I mean,
they had already written the property off the books a long time ago.
Exactly. And it allows them to also focus on other developments in other parts of the country and the world. So in a way, it was a real nice win-win situation for both parties, I think.
Do you? What are the rumors in terms of, is Circus Circus going to remain under that name in Reno, or do you think that's going to change in the next couple of years?
I actually haven't heard anything about that, but it wouldn't be unusual for them to get some sort of, intellectual property license to use the name
right.
for a certain period
like
of time.
Treasure Island did with MGM right. and their whole system.
Right. Or even Boomtown. When Boomtown changed ownership, there's a license that they got from Pinnacle to continue that name.
All right. Lots going on in the industry, sir. Thank you so much for filling us in. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I got to hang up from a counselor at my high school. She introduced me. We did the walkthrough. But once I did get to hang up, I really liked it. I also was able to open up with Monica and Janine a lot. And I definitely do not regret it, because I know with Monica and Janine, I can go to them and they'll give me the best advice ever.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business, and as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $22.95.
We've delivered for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Hey there, I'm Brian Samudio.
And I'm Alex Margulies.
And we're here to get you ready for another season of University of Nevada Wolfpack football.
We proudly back the pack, but do you? Show us your Wolfpack pride each and every week by visiting our Facebook page.
And don't miss the pack when they take on the New Mexico Lobos this Saturday, 4 p.m. kickoff at Mackey Stadium.
Hi, I'm Jack Stanko from Champion Chevrolet, and we'd like to see you at every home game this year. And a champion,
we grab the pack!
I always tell our clients that our job is to move the money from the insurance companies into their hands for their injuries. That's why they're hiring us.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Full Circle Flooring is your full-service flooring store for carpet, hardwood, vinyl, tile, or stone. Dedicated to expert customer service, Full Circle Flooring tailors to all your flooring needs from concept to installation while also being environmentally friendly. Visit our showroom today.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business, and as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $22.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, they have a great power pundit panel. As always, Dick Gamig is here, the former Washoe County District Attorney. Howard Rosenberg is a UNR Professor of Art. He also is a trustee of the Washoe County School District School Board. And John Sandy is lobbyist with Argentum Partners. Dick, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist the headline in the Las Vegas Sun, Tribe in South Dakota to open nation's first marijuana resort. Your thoughts, sir?
Sam, it hasn't changed, trust me.
I just really have to wonder where this country is going. We're now, if we're going to the point where we're going to start legalizing it even more, it's still a Category 1 drug. It is still a very dangerous drug. The federal government still has not done anything about legalizing it or making it easier. The only reason it's going like it is now is because of the attorney generals we've had during this reign or regime or whatever you want to call the president. That's the only reason we have all this going.
And you know, the current attorney general is not in favor of legalizing drugs, which is kind of interesting. Eric Holder went along with the plan, but it's been interesting to see that the current attorney general has not done anything.
Well, your thoughts, Howard? Was given her marching orders.
I don't like the idea at all. I worry about what will happen. But then the same thing happened with prohibition, and look where we are now with alcohol. You know, it's a balance. I worry about it. Fortunately, I'm old. I don't have to worry that much about it.
John, you know, it's interesting because, you know, from a gaming perspective, a lot of people are saying this is going to be a big tourist draw for places like Las Vegas. But from a gaming point of view, it's kind of tough because they have to abide by federal laws to go along with the Gaming Control Board and the Gaming Commission.
Well, absolutely. And I think you saw the Gaming Commission come out and issue their memorandum for their owners.
Choose it.
And say one or the other. You're in a state-regulated, highly regulated industry. It is a federally banned substance, and we can't allow our operators to be skirting federal laws. And they took a very hardline stance on that. And I don't see why they would change their stance on that by allowing their operators to cater to having illicit drugs on their property.
You said one thing, if I may just jump in here real quick, and you compared it to the prohibition, and that keeps happening.
Oh, okay. I did that.
Keeps happening when we have prohibition and stuff. You got to remember, marijuana is smoked, and we've done all this anti-smoking campaign in this country because all the problems it causes, and marijuana has a lot of elements in the smoke that tobacco does not have and is far more dangerous. And right now the medical community can't even tell you what all it will do to a human body.
But you know what's interesting is that now with the legalization of medical marijuana in Nevada, you are now seeing, you know, it has to go through a process. So substances like mold and other things that I don't think most people ever thought about are now being found. So the product that's going out there is a lot safer, in quotes, than it was before. Also, the difference between cigarette smoking and marijuana smoking is you would smoke a pack of cigarettes. You wouldn't smoke a pack of marijuana cigarettes. Otherwise, you would be sleeping pretty rapidly.
No, that's not.
I want to change the topic, and Howard, this is not directed at you. It's about the subject, which is Jerry Brown signed legislation Monday allowing terminally ill people to take their own lives, a right to die legislation. Your thoughts on this?
I'm for it. I am for it 100%. I think there comes a time when it needs to be up to the individual whether or not he wants to or she wants to continue. I've seen so many people suffering for a long, long time for no reason at all.
You know, John, it was interesting during the legislative session. I mean, this topic came up, but it was shut down almost immediately. Do you think that it's going to have a better chance of passing perhaps in the next legislative session because of what California has done?
I do. I think...
You've seen these types of legislation being passed in other states, and Senator Keith Keffer actually ran the legislation, and I told him I supported the concept of the legislation. I mean, obviously there needs to be vetted on how and who's able to help administer
but
these.
But I think Oregon is a very good guy.
I agree, and I think Oregon is took a lead on that, and now you have California. So yeah, the likelihood and probability of it passing, I think, is a lot more than it was in the past.
Dick, your thoughts on it?
Oh, I believe in it. I believe it's each person's decision that they have to make. They have to make themselves right with their religious beliefs, with their family beliefs, with everything else that's going on. And if they make that decision that they're past it, that's their call. What, we don't have an anti-suicide law now where people jump off buildings and everything else? Why can't people that are terminally ill and feel that they don't want to live anymore just... I remember my mom when she was 83 years old. She pretty well gave up on life. And she didn't live much longer. She went ahead and passed away. But they get to that point where they just say, I don't want to live anymore.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, I think almost all of us have had a family member that has had suffering, and there was probably a point where maybe if they had the option, they might have considered it. And allowing a doctor or medical professional to make it as comfortable as possible. You hear stories of, I believe it was in Carson City, where the husband went to the hospital and shot his wife. Right. I mean, how heartbreaking is that, just to hear a story like that? And I think we are a little bit behind the times.
And I'm with all three of you. I think that when my time comes, I want to be able to decide, and not go on if the quality of life is not going to be there. That's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this timeout.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We work for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
The health care law gives us powerful tools to fight it.
To investigate it.
Prosecute it.
And stop criminals.
Our senior Medicare patrol volunteers
are teaching seniors across the country
to stop, spot, and report fraud.
You can help.
Guard your Medicare card.
Don't give out your card number over the phone.
Call to report any suspected fraud.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
Let's make Medicare stronger for all of us.
At CCNN, we help people find a purpose, the place to start their life. And in the process, we help people just like you discover who they can become. Since 1984, CCNN has been successfully educating students for careers in a variety of fields. And in the process, we help people just like you discover who they can become in fields like pharmacy tech and medical assisting.
Contact CCNN today at 775-583-4696 or visit learnccnn.com.
This month at JM Furniture, get these great sleeper specials. Available in twin, full or queen at these incredible prices. And with memory foam mattresses and available in three colors. And how about this weathered leather look sleeper in queen for just $8.99? And don't miss these dining specials, like this table with four chairs and leaf for only $3.99. Or this rustic expandable table with six chairs at just $11.99. Get these great deals now, only at JM Furniture.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
On our next broadcast, we're going to discuss the topic of chronic illness and what a group is trying to do about it. We'll see you then.